Hi, I'm Hannah, team manager with the Orange Arrow Players Association, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to coach student athletes to aim for success off the field. Please consider making a play by giving, posting a fundraiser, subscribing to our podcast and YouTube channel, and staying connected on social media at Orange Arrow PA. Visit orangearrow.org for more information. Thank you for listening. Take aim.
Welcome to Inside the Play Call with Orange Arrow, and I'm your host, Sean Robinson. And today we have a very, very special guest, my guy, Scott McCurley. McCurley, what's up, boss? How are you?
How are we doing, Sean? I'm doing great. Doing great. Happy to be here and excited to get a chance to talk to you. It's been a while.
It's too long, man. You look great, man. I'm glad we got reconnected, man. Looking forward to get into this podcast more with you.
Yep. Gonna be awesome.
Let's do it. So, Scott, as you know, the importance of stretching and warming up. So I got a couple warm-up questions for you. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Scott, if you're going to listen to one musical artist for 30 days straight, only one, who is your selection?
Ooh, 30 days straight.
Only one.
Right now, the name that pops up in my head is Red Hot Chili Peppers. I kind of been a fan going back. They finally got a new album coming out. They got a catalog that can get you through 30 days.
Right.
Because that's a lot for anybody. But love them. Seeing them live and caught their energy and their vibe and I don't know. I just dig them. So that would be it for me.
That's a solid choice, or that's a hot choice. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I love it. So, Scott, if you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
Whew. Let me see. I got two boys, 14 and 12. So
okay.
We've seen our fair share of the superhero move. I don't know. I've always been a fan of flying. I mean, it just to me. I don't know. It's just a chill. I mean, I could use it day to day coming to work. Don't worry about the staff.
Right.
I mean, I could use it just to go out and chill and see the world, see the land. I don't know. There's a lot of them. Shoot, I talked to the boys about, but the super strength that they always come up with. It seems like some of that stuff, there's too much responsibility, though. It's like, if I got that, then I got to go be a superhero. If I can travel back in time, if I can do all that stuff, it's like, oh, man, that's too much responsibility for that. I need to go back and set some things right. But flying, just taking it easy and chilling.
I dig it. I think so. Flying, the closest thing you can do to that now is jumping out of an airplane. Have you jumped out of an airplane, or would you?
You know what, which is crazy, because I wouldn't. I haven't jumped out of an airplane, and I don't. I better have the right genie or the right radioactive bird to bite me or something that I'm flying right, because I don't mind flying. I don't mind that whole deal. Heights will get me a little bit. I'll do roller coasters with the boys, but. To tell you the truth, I ain't gonna be jumping out of no planes.
There it is. Last one. Favorite TV show of all time to this day. If it comes on now, you'll sit down and watch it.
Oh boy. You know what? If I went back and I really said it through the years, it would probably have to be Seinfeld for me. Because it was just a classic, growing up. Even watching with my parents in high school, and then moving on through the years, and the reruns were just on all the time. So my wife actually got into it somehow on Netflix or whatever it was on, at the end of this past year. And it was funny just coming over and seeing some of those. But a great new show was Ted Lasso. I don't know if you've seen.
Have yes. you seen Ted Lasso? Yes. Apple. Yeah, that was strong. Yes.
That's got to go the test of time. But just being involved in sports and the whole deal, what a great show. Positive energy. And
totally.
Very well done.
Definitely. Seinfeld, you can't go wrong with that. Love yeah. Ted Lasso as well. So speaking of Seinfeld, did you happen to catch his Netflix series? It was Comedians in Cars or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually pretty cool.
I did catch some of those too, which were pretty those are pretty dope, the way he kind of jumped in a car too, to kind of match their personality. And,
right.
And they just got to chop it up between, you know, how they created their jokes, their timeline into their career. And it was a cool deal.
Yeah, it was really dope. Really dope. So Scott, yeah, take us back. Hometown, family upbringing, introduction to sports. Take it away a little bit.
Yeah, shoot. I'm from a small town, Bessemer, actually, Pennsylvania, outside of Newcastle. The big city of Newcastle, Pennsylvania. That's probably the biggest area there. But right on the PA, Ohio border, rural area. My mom and dad, blessed to still have them around, still living in the same home that I grew up in.
Wow.
Have a great brother who is a year older than me. In really great hometown, great family community atmosphere that I grew up in, with a lot of people who we respected and trusted, and we had a great upbringing through that community.
That's dope. So sports, what sports did you play growing up?
You know what? It was for me, it was football, baseball, basketball. That's where it was. I got involved probably baseball the earliest with the T-ball and stuff. Rolled into the Pee-wee football, got into basketball a little bit later, probably fifth and sixth grade. Like I said, it was a small rural community, so there wasn't a whole ton of options. I mean, we kind of had you had track out there as well. But I was a football, baseball, basketball guy, and played baseball up until ninth grade. And then after that, I was really just football and basketball in high school and went that direction.
So what athletes did you look up to growing up?
You know what? Athletic-wise, it was funny. Being from outside of Pittsburgh, had that Steeler upbringing and had that whole deal. But being 5-6 years old, whenever the Chicago Bears went to that 85 Super Bowl,
yeah,
Super Bowl shuffle.
Come on, yeah.
That was really my first team that I kind of was a fan of growing up. I mean, I was always – the Steelers were always going to be on. But for me, it was kind of that Mike Singletary, that Walter Payton crew of the 85, 86 Bears.
Willie Gault, yeah. Richard Dent. Yeah. Oh.
Loved them. Loved them. So Mike
Dicka as a coach, right?
Yeah. Dicka was the head coach who kind of had some Pittsburgh Pitt ties, which we'll get to down the road. But loved that. I mean, I loved it was great being a Pirate fan in the early 90s because they were actually good then. I mean, it's been 30 years since they won.
That's
but
true.
The Pirates in the early 90s with Bonds, Bonilla.
That's true.
Dreback, and that group of players there, 90, 91, 92, and it was fun to follow those guys and go. Unfortunately, basketball was, who didn't love Jordan, you know, growing up in the early 90s and through the 90s there, we didn't have a basketball team to really follow in Pittsburgh, and I wasn't going to go the Cavs direction.
Too close to the Browns.
Yeah, so I wasn't going there, but that was it.
Dig it. So you got a little Chicago there. You got the Bears, you got the Bulls. You mentioned it, but that Chicago Bears team with the Hollywood Shuffle. Oh, you know how to start it? So now the video is running through my mind now. I forgot about the fridge. William Perry.
You're exactly right. The fridge?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just there was just something about that squad and that team in that Super Bowl that really just that was kind of the starting point for me really being a fan of the team.
You remember the song?
The Super Bowl Shuffle?
Yeah.
I can still see the guys that kind of doing the dance up.
Right.
It was a funny deal.
You gonna give us a sample? We are the Bears.
that was it. We are the Bears. You know it better than I do.
Man, I was a fan of the Bears as well, especially Walter Payton's sweetness. Definitely. And so, growing up, any other interests outside of sports? Did you get into music, to writing, anything else? Or was it heavy sports?
You know what? That was it. I was really a sports guy. I guess, the one thing that always comes up, I'm from a rural Pennsylvania community, and I live down here in Texas now. was up in Green Bay people with their hunting, and they're, oh, you had to be a hunter growing up and doing all those kind of outdoor deals. And I spent plenty of time outside growing up and out in the woods and riding four wheelers and stuff like that. But wasn't a huge hunter, didn't get much into that. I was really a sports guy. I mean, that's where it started and finished with me.
I dig that. So let's talk high school sports. So let's talk football there. Linebacker, did you play offense as well? So what'd you play in high school?
Oh, gosh. I played linebacker. Played linebacker. It ended up, it was funny. My brother, who we'll get to his story too and the whole deal, but my brother, a lot bigger than I am.
Shout out to Jeff.
I'm at 6 foot. When I went to Pitt, I was about 185. So, you know, maybe 200. My brother's 6'5". He's rolling at that point at 250. So the funny story is my other buddy, another big guy, I end up playing offensive tackle and linebacker on our team. My brothers ended up being the guard. Okay. I end up playing tackle. All we did was run beer all day and I down blocked. And my other buddy played tight end right next to me. And I think all we did, I'm not sure. I'd love to go back and see the tapes now. I feel like we just ran one play to our side the whole time.
Right. Wow, offensive tackle, no way. I would have lost my $2 if I would have made that bet.
You ain't kidding. I can't even tell you how many times I got to maybe play a skill position. But it was a killer. But it's funny, too, because we had such a we were a rural school. We only had, I think, 20 kids. My junior year, my brother's senior year, we had about 20 kids on the whole team. I mean,
what?
So just to practice. I mean,
and
we're playing in double, triple A football, which is, I mean, we should have been single based on the amount of kids we had.
Yeah.
We had a blast. I mean, when you're playing with your boys in that certain core group of friends, it was fun. Even though we didn't win, I mean, we won about, we were what, 4-6 probably about every year going into it. But we had a blast, and it was a good time playing with them.
I dig it. And so you mentioned going to Pitt. So talk about that transition from high school sports to Pitt, why you selected Pitt. Kind of talk to us about that time period.
Well, that really brings my brother into it because being a year older, he was recruited and went there on scholarship. This was Walt Harris's first year in what, 90, I guess, 7 that was.
97, yep.
Yeah, 97. So luckily coming in, I was able to kind of ride his coattails, I always say, even into the walk-on status, because I ended up walking on there. Could have, I look back at the decision I made, because the other schools would have been small schools in the area. They would have been D2, D3 schools within Western Pennsylvania. I probably could have stayed there, got some good educations at different spots, and probably played in the end, a lot more and probably a bigger role than what I did. But at the time, I saw what Pitt was. I saw the type of football that was being played there and the level of football that was being played. And I just saw an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. I mean, to just have that shot, I could always fall back probably and transfer and go smaller if I wanted to. But to have that shot to go to a D1 school, old Big East, and play with my brother again, I mean, I couldn't pass up that opportunity.
So how far is your hometown from Pittsburgh? Probably about 40 minutes?
We are probably from the house I grew up in to campus. It was probably about 55, 60 minutes. Just under an hour. Yep.
And so how was that experience? So your family could come see you all play. You could go home when you need to or want to. Your brother's there. So how was that?
Yeah, that was – I couldn't – for me personally, I couldn't have – had a better situation as far as that. Like I said, growing up in a rural community and to have the opportunity to go to the city, to go to the Oakland area, Pittsburgh, and get that energy, get that vibe of the city, still only be an hour away from being able to shoot home, get back to the country, get back to my family, and then have the opportunity to come to every game, to my uncle used to have an old RV. They'd come rolling down, and we'd have a whole McCurley crew out there.
The tailgate,
sitting outside Old Pitt Stadium over there, and it was fun. It was fun. I'm glad the whole family was able to experience it.
Now, what did you major in at Pitt?
You know what? I ended up with an exercise physiology degree with a coaching minor. I went into it, Sean, thinking, I went into it not knowing, like a lot of kids. I'm trying to figure it out, what I want to do, what I want to be. You know, I got into it, and really, with kind of the coaching in mind, I probably at the time would have just been a gym coach or a gym teacher with the idea, you know what, I could be a gym teacher, I can go coach high school sports, high school football, you know, and do different things like that. Well, at Pitt, that didn't necessarily work out with the undergrad, with the education department. So they're like, just start working on your exercise, the movement degree, and then you can go from there, you know, and see where it turns out. And then in the last, I think, by the time my junior, senior year, they came out with this coaching minor. So I jumped in on that too. So that's where I'm sitting right now.
We'll get into that later. So when did an interest in coaching begin for you?
You know what? It was probably by by my third year. You know,
so it was in college though.
Probably by getting into that third year of college that I kind of knew. I didn't know where the opportunities would lie at that time, but I kind of knew I'd still want to be involved in the game at some point at that time. Because I knew, I wasn't going to the NFL. I wasn't going to do all that. But how do I stay involved in the game? And I probably knew about that time, probably in my end of my sophomore year, that I'd like to explore those opportunities to go coach.
Dig it. So give me one of your fondest memories, one or two of them, on or off the court at Pitt or off the field.
Oh man, from Pitt, my biggest memory of playing would have to be my redshirt freshman year when I got to play a little bit, got to start some games, and then rolling into that last game at Pitt Stadium with the opportunities. You want to talk about being blessed with opportunities.
Yeah.
I have a chance to go block that field goal at the end of the first half, and our boy Ramon tips the ball up to me, and I end up with the interception in that game. So I mean that's
just Notre Dame
forever. So
yeah,
last game at Pitt Stadium and playing against Notre Dame. I mean, playing Irish and that was great.
That was huge. That was huge. I had it written down. I like it. If Scott says another, gives me another memory, I'm like, dang.
That was the highlight. That was the highlight there of my career. But a lot of good memories of just the guys. I think about. All the times in those 5 years that I spent there and the guys playing with and it was a lot of fun too. It was a lot of fun. We had some good teams. Luckily we were able to have a little bit of success while we were there and it was a great experience.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. You brought up Ramon. You may not be aware, but his son is actually a really good basketball player. He's a freshman at Houston, Ramon Walker Jr. I think they went to the Elite Eight this year. Elite Eight. So he was the sixth man as a freshman. He put in good work. So you gotta check him out, Ramon Walker Jr. It's like really crazy to watch him, but like Ramon Walker, like yo, that's our guy. So it's just crazy. I mean, before we started recording, it was like, man, we're getting older, right? So you had how many children you have? You had two?
I got two. Yeah, the two boys, 14 and 12.
14 and 12.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, we just had our first child, a boy. So Max, he is now 2 weeks old. So you all are on the other end of it.
It's going to be a wild journey. It's going to be great. But 2 weeks.
No sleep. You were right in my eyes. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Congrats.
So Scott, so what happened after Pitt?
You know what, after I got done playing, I stayed there in G8, had an opportunity to be a graduate assistant coach and stay there. Blessed to get on with Walt and his staff with Paul Rhodes and those guys. And then, man, is really, luck would have it, Ben McAdoo, who went on to be the head coach of the New York Giants, he ends up being a graduate assistant along with me. That must have been in, what, 03? In the 03 season.
So that would have been Fitzgerald's last year, did.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Larry's last year. So I was able to build a relationship with him. And as luck would have it, after I did my 3 years as a GA at Pitt, an opportunity opened up. Ben McAdoo had followed Mike McCarthy from New Orleans to San Francisco with the 49ers, and he's going to Green Bay to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. So now I'm sitting here. Once again, it's one of those deals. I had an interview like with Villanova to go out there and be a part of their staff because my 3 years were up. And then here comes the Green Bay Packers with this opportunity to get my foot in the door. Dave Wannstedt had some guys on Mike's staff already in place up in Green Bay. So just enough connections all hit at once for me to get my foot in the door up in Green Bay. And it ended up spending 13 years of my life up there. And it was awesome.
And so one of the words you just said that really stuck out to me is enough connections. One of the things that we share with our student athletes that we work with is the power of relationships and building relationships. Can you speak to that, the importance of relationships?
I can speak to it is in the fact that, honestly, for myself, more of an introverted personality, I've really got to force myself to do that, to build those relationships and those connections, because they're so vital. I mean, to really any industry and anything you do as an adult and as you grow, I mean, even the network you're trying to build for your kids and be able to help them out and everything you do is based on the relationships really you have. And it's you can't say enough of the people out there that you may meet that down the road, 5-10 years down the road, that you maybe you lost touch with, but at some point you've built that initial connection, that initial friendship that is gonna end up benefiting you down the road. Just like Ben, I met him as a GA in 03. Next thing you know, 3 years down the road, you know, he's coming back to me. I got this opportunity for you with the Green Bay Packers. So very beneficial to connect with people, to respect people, kindness, and that just goes a long way. Just being the right type of dude in respecting people and those relationships will grow.
Yo, that's so true, man. The one thing, because I was going to speak to that, man, because you've always been a solid dude, straight dude. You respect others. You give respect. People give you respect, man. And in that situation, if you would have been a jerk, you know, when you were a GA, he would have came back like, nah, man, like that's somebody I don't mess with. But because, you know, you treat people the right way, you know, high character individual, you know, it helps open up the doors and people want to be around people they like as well.
No question. Just being like what you said, just showing up and being a good person, you know, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, showing respect to people, being kind, all right, being considerate, you know, it just, I mean, those are the people that you want to be around in the long term. You know, people are going to find success who aren't that, you know what, who are highly motivated and they're going to do anything to reach a level of success. But over the long run, you want to be around the good people that have respect for you. You have respect for them.
Definitely. So taking you back, Green Bay. So I had the opportunity to interview two individuals who played for the Packers. We actually played against both of them in college. So Tony Fisher, who played at Notre Dame, then also Najee Davenport, who played at Miami, both played in Green Bay. And so one of the things that come to mind is, so I guess it's camp, where people, you ride the bike, like 100 yards or whatever. Now, is that only the players or do the coaches get into that as well? And also share that tradition, they didn't answer that question.
Yeah, it's really a huge thing. I mean, they're so connected to their team there in Green Bay, and it's really training camp such a really special place. I mean, that's kind of a mecca right there at Lambeau Field, and it's right outside of Lambeau. All the kids get to show up with their bikes at training camp, and it is just the players. I guess you could if you're a coach if you really wanted to, but it is just the players. They'll come out. Usually they'll pick a certain kid, so they really are able to kind of build a relationship over the 3 weeks of camp, because a lot of times a player will come out every day and they'll just look for that kid, who's got the nice bike. I mean, if they're a big guy, they got the bigger bike. That has something to do with it. But at the same time, it's special for those kids, because, I mean, for 3 weeks, a lot of them are there every day waiting out there with the bike so the player can ride over there to practice for the day. So really a cool deal.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So when you think about your time at Green Bay, one or two memories that come to mind?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's so many there. I think, you know, obviously the Super Bowl that we won there. Against the Steelers, which was just a crazy deal to end up. I look at myself sitting here right now in Dallas with the Cowboys. I would, at the time, I'm coaching with the Packers. We are playing the Steelers, who was my hometown team growing up. And we came down here and played the Super Bowl in Dallas, where I end up, you know, 10
wow.
years.
Wow, yeah. So
it was just weird thinking back of it, you know, but to be able to win a Super Bowl there for my kids, both at the time they were almost three, in around one, you know, to have those pictures and of that celebration and being a part of that special team in that moment, that was awesome, you know. But aside from that, I really grew up as a man, as a person, as a coach. I was blessed. I mean, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, they'll do a lot for your coaching career right there. They carry that organization. I mean, it's a great place, great organization. But to have two quarterbacks like that was unbelievable. So to be able to be there for 13 years and see my kids born and raised there and be a part of a special organization like that was awesome.
Yeah. Speak to some of the roles you had there in Green Bay, because you didn't come right in as a linebacker coach. So speak to that journey a little bit.
Oh, boy. I was a they had three different locker rooms there for different levels of employees. And I hit them all there, because when I got in, I was a coaching administrator. Really, it was like, OK, you're going to come in here. You're going to work with our coaching administrator, and when you have time, okay, now you can go work with football. You can do stuff on defense. So of course I'm in there grinding, getting all that administrative stuff done so I can do as much as I can on defense as a coaching administrator. You try to do that to my best of my ability. Within a few years, that grew into kind of an assistant quality control role on defense. That grew into 2009, then getting the quality control job on defense. And then in, what was it, 14 or whatever, then I'm assistant linebackers. And so it was just getting in there, you know what, going full speed ahead, whatever I was asked to do. And it eventually rose into being in front of the linebacker group.
Wonderful. Now, you mentioned being in Dallas. So how about them Cowboys? So yeah. How is it living in Texas?
It's wonderful. I mean, this place, we're up here in Frisco where the facility's at, and we live a little bit north of that. But I mean, the communities here, you want to talk about just growing in a community that by just every time somebody comes down here from the family, it's like, boy, last time I came down here, there wasn't this many houses, there wasn't this many buildings. So really growing, thriving community. Great schools. It's a great place to have the kids. The weather's a very nice change. You know what? They talk about the Texas heat down here, but I was in the Green Bay cold.
Yeah, that's true.
I was in them long winters for a long time, Sean. And you know what? I'm rolling with this heat right now. I'll take it. So it's it's been great. The organization's good, and we're happy.
That's wonderful. So how far is, so you're in Frisco, how far is that from Dallas?
Yeah, we're about, I just shot down to the Stars, the hockey game, the arena's downtown. We're probably about 25 minutes here in Frisco down to the city. I live about 10, 15 minutes north of here, so it's around 40 minutes for me to get to the city. The stadium's over in Arlington. That's a little bit of a hike on game day to get over there, but really great city, really great area.
What advice you have for young people who want to follow your path? I want to be a coach in the NFL or at the professional level. What advice you have?
I think you said it of the connections that you're trying to build in whatever you do, creating those relationships. But maybe more importantly, I mean, for me, it was just showing up and putting in the work and being consistent in everything you do. Whether you like it or not, whether or not it's where you want to be, it's where you're at. And until you do the jobs that you're at, whether you like them or not, to a high level and to the best of your ability, that's going to open up the paths down the road. You do a great job in what you're asked to do, people are going to notice it. Doesn't matter what it is. So attack it, go after it. And like I said, that helps build the relationships because people trust you. People understand you're going to do a good job for them no matter what it was. And when the time comes for them to elevate you, they're going to have the confidence to do that.
That's great advice. So, Scott, as we close, as you know, the mission of Orange Arrows to coach student athletes to aim for success off the field, off the track, out of the pool, off the court, wherever the playing arena may be. Why is it important to be successful outside of your sport?
You know what? I think because that at the end of the day, sports only goes so far for any of us. I mean, we're here dealing with these NFL players. And at the same time, everything is preparing yourself, you know what, to be happy for the rest of your life. You know what, to have yourself with whenever you leave the sport, all right, you're not just leaving a void in what you do. You're a full person. All right, you understand you have a purpose outside of sports, to be a father, to be a leader, you know what, to be a coach to other people, whatever it is, you know what, you're more than just the sport you play. And I think that being the right kind of person off the field and understanding that there's a lot more to life than just the sports is going to get you to a point when those playing days are over. You're going to be a happy, fulfilled person.
Awesome. Well said. Well, Scott, my guy, Mr. McCurley, man, it's great reconnecting with you, man. My pit brother, man. Thank you for your time. All the best to you and your family, and have a great season, man. My dog, H2P.
Yep. Hail to Pitt, man.
Hail to Pitt, my guy. Peace. Yep.